Good evening, everyone. Hey, good evening, everyone. It's so good to be here tonight. If you have not met me before, my name is Haynes, and I'm very excited to be back and share with you. Before I dig into today's message, I would like to give you a brief update on my family. And as many of you know, back in September last year, my wife, Joyce, had a major surgery to remove a brain tumor. It was one of those moments, to be honest, that where time just stops. You don't think about work. You don't think about plans, and you just hold your breath and pray. It was a very, very scary time for our family, but thank you for your prayers, and your quiet support meant so much more than you know. He is where we are now. Joyce is recovering, and she's much stronger now. The most recent MRI shows that the remaining tumor is stable, which is exactly what we have been praying for. So she is working very hard in rehab with occupational therapists and speech therapists. The process is slow, but it's moving forward. We are very, very grateful that to have all of you to work walking with us. Thank you very much, church. And can I just say this? This season of struggle taught me something that I want to bring into today's message. There are battles simply cannot win on your own. And once you realize that, it changed how you read the scripture, how you pray, and how you live. We are now in the part three of our series called Through the Lens, and if you have been checking with us, you know we have been talking about worldview, the way we see reality. I know, when we say the word worldview, half of you mentally check out, because it sounds like very dry, very heavy. I get that, you know, but please stick with me. As we have seen over the past 2 weeks, your worldview is one of the most exciting, dangerous, and important things about you. It's the pair of glasses you wear to navigate reality, and it's the things that tells you why you feel anxious when you check your Instagram. It's the things that tell you what to do when you feel shame, and it's the lens that you use to interpret every breakup, every failure, and every success. If your lens is cracked, your life is going to be distorted. And if your lens is dirty, you're going to walk into walls. What we see affects what we do. And how we see affects how we live. And remember last week, we talked about shame and guilt, and we saw like how different lenses tell us what to do with our failure. And tonight, we're looking at another part of our reality. And I want to begin by talking about the feeling of losing. I'm not talking about losing a game or losing your keys. I'm talking that, you know, deep, internal, that it's very intense, that you're fighting a battle that you just cannot win. Before we go on, let's get real for a moment. Let's get real for a moment. Can we just take out that polite, I am fine version of church tonight? Can we do that? How many of you are tired? You know, I don't mean that I need a nap tired. I'm not meaning some kind of like, midterms are killing me tired. Not that I stay up late gaming tired. It's that I mean your soul. It's really tired. Not so tired, but soul is so tired. You know, it may look like this. You wake up in the morning, and before your feet even hit the floor, that's already an internal battle inside. The negative self-talk, that voice in your head, hey, start playing on a loop, keep bugging you. Hey, you are a failure. You're not good enough. For some of you, you know, that's a weight on your chest. That's no logical reason to be there, but it's there. It just won't leave. Maybe for some of you, you know, it's The battle is of specific habits. You have a secret. Maybe it is pornography, substance, or maybe it's just scrolling on your phone for 5 hours a night because you feel so terribly wrong with the silence in your room. And for some of you, you know, it's not just one big thing, you know? It's a pattern of life or a way in life that you know it's slowly eating you away. You fight it. You really do. You promise yourself, okay, Monday is a fresh start, no more. And you make it to Tuesday, and maybe Wednesday. But then the stress comes in, and the loneliness kicks in. Oof, you failed. You fall right back into the same loop. You end up feeling weaker than before. And for some of you, I know the shame that you feel after you fall is much heavier than the sin itself. You feel like you're fighting every day, but you're losing almost every single time. And what makes it even harder is this. We live in a culture that is obsessed with winning. You're supposed to be the hero of your own movie. You're supposed to build your own perfect Instagram. You're supposed to get the grades, get the job, and you should be like look good doing it. But pressure is always there. So when you lose, the message you get from the world is it's your fault. It's you didn't try hard enough. You don't want it badly enough. So what do? You double down and you try harder. You make new rules. You promise yourself, hey, we'll be stronger next time. And yet, you fail again. You lose. Struggle remains. And at some point, you really have to pause and think, hey, there must be something wrong here. So tonight, we really need to talk about that, the struggle, because if your worldview, if your lens, if your pair of glasses doesn't explain the struggles that we're talking about, eventually you're going to be crushed by it. So here's the questions that I want to sit with you for a moment. What if the reason you're struggling is not because you're weak, but because you have been fighting the battle the wrong way? So here's something interesting, okay? We live in a generation that is deeply skeptical of organized religion, but fascinated by spiritual stories. Think about it. Look around. Have you ever, noticed the massive supernatural contents in, movies, animes, K-drama, webtoons? If you watch K-drama, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. They're filled with demons, curses, hidden spiritual power everywhere. One of the most clearest example is the K-pop Demon Hunters, the massive 2025 Netflix hit that we talked about last week. Even if you have not seen it, you know the vibe. You have these incredible, stylish, attractive young people, Rumi, Mira, Zoe, in the group of hunters. By day, they are like a global K-pop stars, and by night, they are demon hunters with super strength. They're fighting the evil spirit that hide in everyday life. And the big villain is like this. It's an evil spirit called Grimoire. This powerful demon feeds on human souls, and he looks for cracks caused by hidden shame, guilt, and pain. The more you hide your hurt, the stronger he gets. So what are you going to do? Or put it this way, what is the remedies in a story? You become the hunter. Train harder, perform better, so your songs and your fans' energy build this massive protective barrier called Horn Moon. The ultimate goal is to build a golden Horn Moon, and that's a perfect shield that can seal the darkness away completely. Well, now, this story is fantastic. It's so wonderful in some ways, visually stunning, emotionally intense, and the fight scene is really epic. And on an emotional level, they feel right, because life really does feel like a fight. Temptation really does feel like aggressive, and darkness really does feel personal. But listen to this. While they feel right emotionally in these movies, they quietly teach us a specific worldview. It's like giving you a pair of glasses and say, hey, this is how the world works. If you are struggling, it's because you're not training hard enough. So get stronger. Learn the moves and build the barriers so that you will be safe. That is very attractive, to be honest. That sounds very attractive because we want to believe that we can control the outcome. And without realizing it, we start bringing this, like, be the hunter worldview into our own lives. But the problem is this. It's a fantasy. It's a movie. Think about it. Okay, I'm struggling with lust. So I need to pray more, okay? I need to read like 10 chapters of scripture a day from now on. I need to serve more. I need to build my, you know, Christian honeymoon so that the enemies cannot get in. However, he is the painful reality. How many of you have already tried harder to win? You tried to pray more. You tried to be more disciplined. You tried to think, you know, a better thoughts. Yet you lose again. You are still there struggling times after times. We try. We really do. But we failed. We lost. And the voice of the enemies comes in and says to you, see, you're weak. See, you're nothing. The K-pop demon hunters or the beta hunter glasses look cool on scene, but in real life, they are too heavy. Why? Because when you try to be the one who must always win, you carry an unbearable weight. You can never rest. You can never have a bad day. That's why so many of us are exhausted, tired, struggled. Church, we were never designed to carry that weight of the battle on our own. So, is there a way out? Yes, but it's likely not the way you expect it. The Bible is clear. The Bible does not deny any struggles. The Bible does not even minimize the battles, but the Bible describes the battles in a very different way than our culture does. Listen to Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Notice what Paul says. He does not say, be strong in yourself so that you can fight. No. He doesn't say, unlock your potential to be better. No. He said, be strong in the Lord. Church, the strength you need was never supposed to come from you. It always meant to come from the Lord. And Paul goes on and explains, hey, look at Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly places. Hey, the reason you are struggling is not just because you are weak. No. It's because you are in a battle that is so much bigger than you. You're not just fighting for your own bad habits. You're not just fighting for your own anxiety. You're wrestling against spiritual force. The battle is real, and it's bigger than you think. Think about it. We are wrestling against spiritual force. And here's what got interesting, more interesting. After Paul telling us that how serious, how massive the battle is, Paul gives us a command that seems like almost underwhelming. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, and having done all, to stand firm. Did you catch that? He doesn't say, hey, go hunt the enemies. No. He didn't say, charge forward, run, battle. No. He says, stand firm. If you're honest, if you're really honest, some of you maybe, you know, struggle with this idea, including me in the first place. Standing doesn't sound right in the battle. Standing is like too passive in lots of ways. But here's the questions I really want to consider. What if the reason standing feels so unsatisfying is because we have misunderstood the nature of the battle? Most of us assume one thing, the spiritual battles is about winning. Winning against temptation, winning against like fear, winning against sin, winning against darkness. But listen to this, the truth is the decisive battle has already been fought and won. In other words, the battle you think you're fighting is not the main battle God is talking about. Paul explained this in Colossians 2:15. Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Look at the grammar. This is not a future tense. This is past tense, which means the battle has already happened. It's a done deal. Jesus won at the cross. At the cross, yes. It looks like Jesus was losing, to be honest. He was weak. He was bleeding. He was dying. But what looks like a defeat was actually the ultimate victory. Think about it. How did Jesus actually disarm the enemies? How did he do that? You see, the enemy's greatest weapons was accusation. He points to you and says one thing, hey, you sinned. You don't deserve grace. You lose. And the scary part is like this. Yes, he's right. We sin, we're weak, we lose. We're so terrible, messy. We fell. Keep losing. But at the cross, Jesus took every accusation and every single record of your death and nailed it to the cross. He died for us on the cross. He paid the debt in full. And when the debt was paid, the enemies lost his only weapons against you. That's why the enemies was disarmed. And that means one thing. You are not fighting to win the battle again. You are fighting from a battle that has already won. When I look at you guys, I know what you're thinking. Haynes, if the battle's already won, why am I still struggling? If the enemies is disarmed, why does he feel so dangerous? Yeah, I know. Because a defeated enemy does not stop making noise. He can still whisper lies in your ears at 2 a.m. He cannot take your salvation, but he can still try to steal your peace, your joy, your confidence. Peter says it this way, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Notice this. Like a roaring lion, which means the enemy is not actually a lion. He just sounds like a lion, but he's not a lion. He's loud. He wants to paralyze you with fear. Look, here's the reality. We have to remember, a roar, it's just noise. It cannot actually hurt you. Roar! I cannot bite you. It's only a noise. It cannot actually hurt you. But he can deceive you. He can distract you. And that is the enemies we are facing today. He's loud, but he is powerless. So remember this. Yes, there is a real war, but Jesus has already won the decisive battle at the cross. The enemy is disarmed, and you are called not to win the battle again, but to stand in the victories that Jesus has already won. You guys look puzzling. Yeah. I know what you guys are thinking. That's great, Haynes. Jesus won. The enemy is disarmed. I believe that. But Tuesday night come. The urge is coming. 2 a.m. thoughts are coming into my brain. What do I actually do at that moment? That's a very fair question, to be honest. So what do we do? Well, the command has not changed at all. Paul already said in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand firm again? Here's the thing, you know. What does standing actually look like on a Tuesday night? Now, don't get me wrong, okay? Standing doesn't mean you're not doing anything. Standing is an active posture. It's a military term that means you are holding your ground. It means that you're refusing to give back one inch of the territories that Christ has already won for you. Let me repeat one more time. Standing is an active posture. It's a military term that means you're holding the ground, that you're refusing to give back one inch of the territories that Christ has already won for you. Let me be specific one. Let me be specific. You're like, standing looks like this, saying to the enemies, hey, you are right, I am messed up, but Jesus saved me. Standing looks like bringing your secret, your struggles into light, not because you're strong enough to overcome or beat it on your own, but because the light is where the enemies lost his grip. I really want to land this, you know, in a real world, because I know that's, you know, if I was sitting down there, I would be thinking like this. Okay, Haynes, stand firm. Okay, look nice, sounds nice on a Saturday night. But you don't know my struggle. You don't even know how deep my struggle goes. I get it. I hear you. Let me tell you a true story about someone who felt exactly like that. Years ago, a young man started coming to Koinonia with his friends. You know, he was new to faith, very eager. He was growing, he was serving. And from the outside, you know, he looks like a perfect young Christian. The kind of guy you want your daughter to date or to be best friend with. Like this. But he was hiding a wound. He was battling a deep, consuming addiction to pornography. You know, before he came to become a Christian, he walked through some dark doors, you know, porn, casual relationships. When he met Jesus, he tried very, very hard to walk away from that life. He wanted to be pure, But you know, the image didn't go away. The pattern didn't vanish. And he did what many of us do. He tried to use his own like willpower to win the battle, but he fell. So he tried harder. It still didn't work. He didn't understand why he was so powerless. You know, he felt lost. He was completely defeated. But then one day, he reached a breaking point. He realized that he could no longer live a double life anymore. So he came to me. I remember that moment. He looked at me in the eye and said, "Haynes, I'm struggling. I'm addicted, and I cannot fix myself." And he told me, I don't want to live in this muddy puddle anymore. I don't want to sing praises on a Sunday and hiding in the dark on a Monday. I want to be clean. So that night, he chose to stand in the light. He did what James 5:16 says, "Confess your sin to one another that you may be healed." So he confessed. Do you know how much courage it takes for someone to admit their deepest failure? But he did that night. But he didn't stop there. He didn't. He asked me to hold him accountable. So listen to this. He didn't just say, "Hey, Haynes, please pray for me, brother." No. He gave me the keys. So for the next 6 years, yes, 6 years, I have access to monitor his web activities for 6 years. Think about that. In a world that wants privacy, but this young man says, "No, I don't care about my privacy. I care my holiness. I want Jesus more than I want my secrets." So you know what happens next? The enemies have lost his grip. Because the enemies can only operate in the dark. And when he stands in the light, the enemies lost his power. So today, he's a husband. He's a father. He's a leader walking in freedom, not because he was strong enough to win the battle, but because he was brave enough to stand in the light. And that's what standing firm looks like. It looks like trusting what God says more than what you feel. It looks like a meeting. You are weak so that Christ can be strong. So let me say this clearly, slowly, and plainly. Victory does not come from trying harder. It comes from standing in the strength of the one who already won. Church, this is the good news. You are not the hero of the story. You see, heroes collapse, but Jesus does not. Jesus is the one who stepped into the darkness to save us. And Jesus is the one who died on the cross for us. And Jesus is the one who walked out from the grave and won the over death forever. The pressure to save yourself was never yours to carry. Church, listen to me. Here is the new pair of glasses I want you to wear when you walk out tonight. Again, victory does not come from trying harder. It comes from standing in the strength of the one who already won. You don't overcome sin by being stronger than sin. You overcome sin by standing in Christ. You don't defeat darkness by shining brighter. You defeat darkness by standing in the light. So when the lies, the temptation comes tonight, or maybe tomorrow, or maybe Monday, and they will, don't argue with them. Don't outsmart them. Just point to Jesus and says, I am standing with him, and he has already won. So you go away. Church, let's stand and pray together. Father, thank you that the battles belong to you. Thank you that you have already won. And we confess that we often try to be the heroes, but forgive us for relying on our own strength and effort for so long. So tonight, we choose to stand in Christ. Lord, for every person in this room who feels like they are losing, who feels like they are hunted, tired, ashamed, I ask that you, Lord, open their eyes to see your victory. Show them that the enemy is disarmed and give us the courage to stop hiding, but to confess and to stand firm in the victories. We love you. We trust you. We rest in your victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.